kind of look at some of the people of Scripture and let's try to learn some lessons from them. Tonight I want us to learn the lesson of the failures of success. We have to be so careful because success can cause us great failures. Success can ruin us. Now, we live in America, perhaps the greatest country that's ever been. We've invented things, probably more inventions than any nation on earth. Our standard of living is higher than any nation on earth. God has blessed this nation richly. But you can see our successes have begun to eat at us. And I was studying, my namesake, David, the man I was named after. And I want you to listen to a couple of verses. And when he had removed Saul, God, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Now that was when he was young. Now listen to this. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel. Chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Notice, if you would, the last verse before chapter 16, verse 1. It would be the 35th verse of 15. Samuel came no more to Saul, to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. And so the next verse, notice this, how long, Saul, verse 1, will thou mourn for Saul, Samuel? He said, verse 1, fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So he said, I want you to go and anoint the next king. Samuel said, oh, if Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. Why did Samuel think that? Because Saul was a very jealous king. You see, becoming king had ruined him. Success had ruined him. Now, let's take just a minute about success. Success could be a new job, the one you've really worked to get. Then it could be a particular grade that you worked to get in school. Maybe it's a straight A report card and you got it. It may be that you've graduated from the college that you wanted to and got the job that you wanted, and you're making more money now than you ever thought you would possibly make, and you feel like, wow, you know, the Lord's blessed, I'm a success. Maybe you married the girl, the boy of your dreams, and you feel successful. Maybe you've had God's rich blessing in your life. You're near retirement, and the Lord's been very good to you, and you feel like a success. I don't know what your dreams were, but I know that David had a dream of walking with the Lord. Notice with me, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, and look with me, if you would, in verse number 7, a very famous verse. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Speaking of Eliab, David's eldest brother. Because I have refused him. Why is that? For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Remember, God said in Acts that I have found a man after my own heart. So it was David's heart that God loved with great joy. And he said, I'm going to bless David. Now, he watched David. He's guarding the sheep. And what does David do? David is out there practicing with a slingshot. He's not sitting on a rock wasting his time watching the sheep. He's not lazy. He's got a rod, and he learns a rod's about this long, about this big around, and it was used for killing wolves. It was used for stunning bears or lions. It was similar to a gun if it was thrown right, and they learned how to throw that rod in such a way that it could kill an animal. And so David had practiced and practiced and practiced. That was one of the reasons he was not fearful of Goliath. Because he had the confidence that he had worked and prepared and worked and prepared. And one day a lion came and a bear came, and David had taken care of them through the power of the Lord. So he had learned to trust the Lord, and that made all the difference for him. So he was filled up with confidence from the Lord. So God had prepared him while he guarded sheep. If you're faithful doing what God calls you to do, he is going to bless you. Diligence is always blessed by God. The Lord will promote you in your business. If you're a hard worker, you're a loyal worker, you're faithful to be there on time and work all the time that you're supposed to work, and you have a great spirit about it, you're going to get promoted. Daniel got promoted in a foreign society. You're going to get promoted. You're going to be successful. You do all your homework. You do all your grades. You work at it. You're going to be successful. Now you got to be careful. Solomon said it best in Proverbs chapter 4, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, I want you to take note of David. He started out as a teenager, and he was absolutely God's favorite young man on earth because of his heart. Now, everybody in this room can be God's favorite person because of your heart. God doesn't have many people who looks at and says, oh, a man after my own heart. But there's nothing stopping us. We just have to be diligent at everything the Lord asks us to do in the place where we are called. And God will make a success out of us. Whether it's our careers, our families, our relationships, our finances. If we do things God's way, he'll always, always bless us. He simply says, if you tithe and get an offering, I'll rebuke the devil for you, and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. It is a promise of God. He also says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins every time for every sin. It's a promise of God. You can live a guilt-free life if you learn to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You and I can live a joyful Christian life. That's what he wants for us. We can live a successful Christian life. But anytime we get blessed, anytime we become successful, watch out. The old devil will slip in. Look at Lot's life. He became wealthy. It ruined him. The Bible called him a righteous man in 2 Peter, but he lost everything dear to him because the price of his success was his family. Then you look at Saul. Whenever they first announced him, his name, they're looking for him. He's hiding among the stuff. He's one of the most humble men in Israel. But give him 2 years and now he's filled with pride. And he's territorial and he's jealous and God can't use him anymore. And God looks at him and says, I'm finished with him. Go anoint David. So here's a young man. Now notice with me, if you would, look in verse 12 of this same chapter. And he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy. He was handsome and with all of a beautiful countenance. This is David speaking of, sort of a red-haired young man. That's what ruddy is. And then he has a beautiful countenance. He had clean skin, and And he was a very handsome young man and goodly to look upon. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now notice with me, if you would, in verse number 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. He plays a harp beautifully. That don't happen by accident. So out there with the sheep, he's playing the harp, practicing, getting better and better. He's diligent. He's out there using the slingshot, getting better and better and better. Notice with me if you would. That cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man. He's learned to trust the Lord and he's fearless as a teenager. And a man of war. Why is he a man of war? Because he's afraid of nothing. He'll fight a lion and a bear. And prudent in matters. And he's a very wise young man. He'll always handle himself wisely. And oh, by the way, the Lord is with him. Now, how did he go from there to running for his life from his own son? The failures of success plagued him. I want you to notice just a few things tonight so that it doesn't happen to us. Now, none of us will become king, I would imagine. But I know this. Everybody in this room, many of you in this room, are going to be very successful and already are. Your educational success, your career success. We have to be careful. God did not bless us for us to have to look over our shoulders all the time. There is a way to sustain success with joy. And I want you to see that tonight. There's a way to sustain being a great teacher with joy. There's a way to sustain being a great employee at your business and being promoted and being a manager with joy. Remember, the Lord says, I want to bless you and give you the fruit to enjoy it. He's not blessing us so that we can be cursed. But today, success has become a curse in many ways. Have you seen successful ball players? They become arrogant, prideful. I've forgotten the percentage of the NBA players that are bankrupt within 5 years after quitting playing. Why? The failure of success. How do you burn through $75 million as Terrell Owens did? How do you become the first person to sign a million-dollar contract for the first baseman of the St. Louis Cardinals, Jack Clark, and lose it all? Because success will ruin you if you're not careful. And I want you to see, it got David. What happened? I want you to notice, David in his simplicity had a great faith in the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Again, we're looking at why David became great. He had a heart for the Lord. He had a trust in the Lord. Notice with me, if you would, 1 Samuel 17. Look in verse number 32. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. This is 1 Samuel 17, 32. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Is that not a simplistic look at a battle? 9 foot, 9 inches tall, veteran soldier, and David, 17-year-old, red-headed young man with the confidence in God, says, don't anybody be worried. I'll go fight him. Because he turned around and looked, and every soldier ran to his tent. It wasn't a braggadocious warrior here. It was a young man that knew God. I want to be like that. That I know God and trust him to do whatever he wants with me. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Now, that's not something you want to put on your resume when you're trying to convince the king to let you go fight Goliath. You know what? He's simple. He's simple faith. I want to tell you a story. When I was guarding the sheep, I could see the generals over there going. I was guarding the sheep, and notice if you would. And he said, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And all of a sudden the general perked up. A lion and a bear. And I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And this thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath divided the armies of the living God. You see, he said, there's a God in heaven that says he's going down today. Simple faith. Wow. I wish all of us could be like this. And notice this. And you'll see in verse number 42, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He didn't have battle scars on him. He was a young man that was, he didn't have the tattoos and the earrings and the split around his eyes where he'd been in battle. He was clean cut and sharp looking, and his skin was clean. And he says, that's a kid. Look in verse 46. I love this verse. It's underlined in my Bible. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. Why is that? Because I'm going to whip you. No, look what he says. That all the world, all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He had the right motive for everything that he did. That God would be honored. That everybody would know who God is. And you know, he did it. But when he went down to that little creek and he started getting those five smooth stones, it wasn't because he thought he had missed four times. You know, he had five brothers, so he didn't know if they were going to come after him too, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he didn't know that. But he gets those five smooth stones and he gets in his slingshot and he starts going around and around. And you notice he ran toward Goliath. He was fearless. He knew where that rock was going before he ever left his slingshot. Why? Practice. Why? Trust. He knew if he missed, God wouldn't. Oh, what a young man. So then you know the story. He takes Goliath's head and he comes back dragging the head of Goliath. A simple young man. Can you see that picture? All of Israel. And he's walking back dragging Goliath's head. It's like, I'd like to have seen Eliab, his eldest brother's face at that point in time. And notice what happens. In verse number 5 of chapter 18. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Oh, did you notice that was the way David was as a teenager? He behaved himself wisely. That's something every teenager in this room can learn. Behave yourself wisely. It's a characteristic that God's looking for. Notice if you would. And Saul set him over the men of war. 17 years old, the youngest general on earth. Now, then I want you to notice that's why he was successful. He was also successful because he refused to get bitter. So then you notice, if you would, look, if you would, in verse number 6. And it came to pass as they came that David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul. And notice, if you would, in verse number 7, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And that caused great jealousy in Saul's heart. Verse 8, Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him much. And you know what he does? Now, why he does two things. Now, follow with me. Verse number 9, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. You know what it was? He marked him and said, I'm going to watch that kid from now on. He's dangerous to me. And here's David, the most loyal servant Saul ever had. And yet Saul treated him like dirt, hunted him like a dog. And then notice what he does in verse number 11. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. He tried to kill him. And then notice in verse 13. I don't know that trying to kill David was the thing that hurt David the most. Maybe this was it. Verse 13, therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. Ever heard of being demoted? That's the big demotion. From being over the army to captain of 1,000. Now David at that point in time is 17 years old. He could have said, wow, what have I done? But because his heart was after God, he respected the anointed one, Saul, and would not touch him. When he had the chance in the cave, his men said, kill him. David said, how can I touch the Lord's anointed? Saul said, David, you are more righteous than I. And then he tried to come after him again. And so all this is going on, and David is running for his life, and then Saul gets killed in battle, and the armies come together and make David king. Now notice, if you have your Bible, turn me if you would. If you got your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Verse number 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou was he that led us out and brought us in Israel. Even when Saul was king, you were our leader. Now, all of a sudden, it's starting to start. They're starting to lift him up. And he becomes king. Now, he reigns at 30 years old. Now he's king. So he runs for his life for 10, 15 years, 10, 12 years. He becomes king. And he has to wait for 7.5 years before the other 11 tribes make him king. He was very patient. You want to know why? He'd already been anointed king by God. He knew it was coming. He didn't press it. He didn't push it. Folks, promotion is coming to you if we're faithful. You don't have to push it. It's God's promise. It's God's blessing. But when it does, oh, be careful. Notice what happens. David becomes king, and I want you to notice this. Now, if you have your Bible, I made my notes here, and I want you to see that there are some things that David should have known. If you have your Bible, keep your finger in 2 Samuel, right where it is right here, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, and turn over to Deuteronomy 17:17. The beginning of the end. Now, I've mentioned this passage to you before, but I want to tie it together. Notice, if you would, Deuteronomy 17. Look in verse number 14. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, thou shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. So David should have known that being a king was a request of an ungodly group of a nation. And he's the king, so he better watch out. In verse 15, thou shalt in any wise set him over thee whom the Lord thy God shall choose. David said, I've been chosen by God, so I'm safe thus far. And one from among the brethren shalt thou set over thee. Well, I'm of the tribe of Judah, so I'm safe. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Now turn your Bible, keep your finger there, and turn your Bible over to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, in verse number 3, he's anointed king. Look in verse 13. And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem. Why did he do that? He just became king and immediately started breaking the law of God. Then notice, if you would, in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 17. It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep the words of this law and the statute, to do them. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. You know, and he immediately pursues more wives. But notice one other thing that he does that was, I think, the death of him. Look with me, if you would, in chapter 6. In verse number 20. It's a passage I've read to you before. He separates permanently from his wife, Michal, and never makes it right. He will not forgive her, the wife of his youth. Verse 20, then David returned to his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself in the eyes of the handmaids of the servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father. Already the insults start flying. I was chosen before you're dead. Verse 22, and I would be yet more vile than thus, and be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou spoken of, to them shall I be had in honor. So he put her aside and separated from her. Verse 23, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of his death, and he never made it right. By the way, that standard, that flaw, happened because he was king and he could. Nobody could make him forgive her. Nobody could make him take back the wife of his youth. But he no longer read Deuteronomy 17. He no longer read Deuteronomy 17 or 18 or 19 or 20. And pride begins to fill up in his life. And it's not very long after this, when his eyes are looking out, he's multiplied wives. He's separated from the wife of his youth. And so all of a sudden now he looks out and he sees Bathsheba. Step 1, 2, 3. Why does he take Bathsheba? Knowing it's one of his mighty men's wife? Because he can. He's the king. And you and I have to be so careful, because many things we do after success is because we can. I can buy the car I want because I can. I can get the house I want because I can. Do you know what? David did not pray about any of these decisions. Nowhere does it say he read God's word and studied God's word. Nowhere does it say that. He had a time in his life when he became king that pride lifted up his heart, and he ceased to have that heart for the Lord. Now, God protected him. He went to battle and went to war, and God protected him. He was a brave warrior. He was a fierce fighter. But God's the one that protects us. I was looking through some of my past notes and illustrations this past week, and I saw one of an Indian about George Washington at the very beginning. And I remember reading it to you years ago. And George Washington was riding on his horse with in the Indian War, and he's battling the Indians. And they said, look, chief Indian of the Indians said, look, don't shoot at anybody else, but at that one on the white horse, you shoot him and we'll win the battle. And he said, and years later, now, he lost two horses under him. His coat had bullet holes through it, but nothing hit him. Years later, George Washington's president meets the old Indian. They get to talking, and he said, you know, that day when we were in battle, he said, my Indians, my servants, who could not miss, who never missed, could not hit you. There was a power greater than us watching out for you. Safety, Proverbs says, is of the Lord. And David had it. He didn't deserve it now. He's become an adulterer and a murderer. But God was still faithful. But you know the price of unforgiveness? David, Amnon takes Tamar. Absalom kills Amnon. David won't forgive Absalom. Absalom takes over David's kingdom. David has to run for his life. Why? There was some point in his life when he was anointed king. He was lifted up with pride. I am King David. He stopped reading his Bible. Stopped praying. He stopped walking with the Lord. And it got him. He repented in Psalm 51, but he never made it right with his son Absalom. I want you to remember a couple things. Why did success ruin David? One, he forgot the commands of God. Deuteronomy 17 is very clear. A king's not to multiply wives. A king's not to multiply gold and silver. Solomon forgot both of those. So did David. You'll notice, if you would, not only that, but he stopped regularly reading Scripture. And the Lord said, every day you're to read your Bible. Every day you're to read that copy of the Scriptures. Why? You cannot forget. Because if you do, remember, Deuteronomy 17, 20 says, lest pride lift you up. Because the successes that I'm going to give to you in your career, in your blessings of this life, in your family, are going to ruin you if you don't walk with me. He forgot the commands of God. He didn't read God's word so he could be reminded. He stopped trying to please the Lord and obey him. When he looked out and saw Bathsheba, he knew what was right. She was a long ways off. He didn't have to call one of his servants to say, go get her. He could have stopped many different places. But he didn't, because he didn't have to. He was king. And finally, does anybody know the name Hezekiah? Great king. One day, Elijah comes to tell him, you're going to die. So set your house in order. He turns his face on his bed to the wall and he prays. And he does this. He said, God, you know I've been faithful to you. I've done you right. I don't want to die. He didn't say, Lord, I'd like to serve you, but not my will, yours be done. Lord, I read it just recently. Lord, I've done everything you've asked. He put pressure on God because of what he had done for him. Folks, tonight, everything you and I have done for the Lord, we ought to have done because we love him. You don't bring it up and say, Lord, look what I've done, so you owe me this. You know what God did? God answered his prayer and gave him 15 more years. And you read, those were his worst years of his life. He turned on the Lord. You want to know why? Lord, I want this blessing no matter what. Nobody can pray like that. Because God honors his word. How many of you parents have ever seen something you wanted for your children, but you did not get it for them because you didn't think the time was right? Raise your hand. Okay? That's the prerogative of a father. God is no different. Now, your kids can put so much pressure on you that you give in. Anybody here ever gave in to your kids? So does God. That's the reason why we say, not my will, yours be done. With every success that we want. Otherwise, the old devil will turn it around on us. You see, everything is about him, not us. And the last thing I notice, you always have to give the Lord the glory and the praise and the credit. David at the beginning gave the Lord the credit. And at the end, but in the middle, he didn't give the Lord the credit. You remember when the baby died that was born from Bathsheba and David, immorally, Nathan said to him, "You've given cause to your enemies to mock your God." David said, "Ah." It was a day of repentance, but it was too late to stop the penalty. Tonight, don't let your successes cause you failure. Read God's word regularly. Follow his commands. You see something in there, you do it for his sake. Don't put pressure on God with your prayer life to get something you want at any cost. Always pray. Now, I'm going to give you an example. For 7 years, we've worked to get our piece of property, to relocate, to be able to do more things for the Lord. I want with all my heart to move so that we can reach out to the community, do more with ball fields and activities and functions. But every time I ask the Lord to sell these buildings, I always say, "But if it's not your time, don't sell them." Because I'm terrified of success and its failure. Tonight, let's give the Lord the credit for everything that he does. Let's watch out for the failure of success, because it comes after all of us. Be careful tonight. As Solomon said and didn't obey, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's bow his word of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart tonight about something that's going on in your life. Remember, let's obey his word. Let's do the right thing, always. Let's read God's word faithfully. In our prayer life, let's always say, "Lord, this, I sure would like to have this, but only if it's your will." And then every success and victory, let's give him the credit, because we had to breathe his air and use the body he gave us to accomplish it. Lord Jesus, tonight, would you speak to our hearts as only you can. In your precious name we pray. Amen.